Let's try it again. Good morning, everybody. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you are a wonderful person. Turn to the other side and say, you know what? You're not so bad yourself. So glad you're here today. Today I'm excited because I really want to get into the Word of God, and I want to teach in this series, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done on Earth as It Is in Heaven. We want to understand what that means for you and I as believers, that it's not just simple words we learned as children in the prayer that we were taught by our parents, but it has real meaning, real power, real authority if we learn what it means. Today, I want to continue into the Gospels, and I want to walk into the Word and show you something about the Lord Jesus, but I want to challenge the way we think about the Lord, the way we think about God. And so I have some questions for you that I want to talk about, but I first want to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and we're going to read what Jesus said, how we are to pray. Let's begin here in verse 7. It says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. They think that out of their own energy, effort, and repetition, that God will have to move, like he's a slot machine. If I slide in a coin of prayer and pull the lever, God will drop out a reward for me. God is not a slot machine. He is a living creator of all things. He's not somebody that if you just keep talking, he'll just give you what you want. No, he loves you enough to give you what you need. Look at verse 8. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what exactly you need even before you ask him. Verse 9, watch this, pray. He tells us, the one who made everything in the universe made these words to you and I. I want you to pray like this. Our Father. Everybody say, our Father. In other words, that sometimes we feel like there are times that we are separate, like people, when we don't belong anywhere, that people don't love us. We've never been loved either by our father in the natural or our mother in the natural. We've been without. But he says, when you talk to me, you got to understand, you need to say the words, our Father, meaning he belongs to me and I belong to him. And no matter what anyone has done to me, I have a Father in heaven that will never leave me. Our Father, who art in heaven. Look at this. May your name be what? Kept holy. Now here's the clincher. Verse 10. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ah, this is like amazing to me. That means there is a pattern set in the heavenlies that we're trying to catch up with. You mean to tell me God has it together, no matter how much chaos we see on this earth? This is just temporary because the eternal has already got it together. Somebody ought to say amen. So all that our job is to do is to see his will on earth as it is in heaven, meaning that all we got to do is bring more God into this earth. Somebody say amen. And so he says these wonderful things. He says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And today I want to give you a fresh perspective on who Jesus is and what his mission is on this earth. But I have some questions. I want you to think in your mind and answer this to yourself. When you really see Jesus in your mind, what does he look like? Think about that, would you please? What kind of person is he? When you see Jesus, when you close your eyes, what is he doing right now? Is his arms open? Is his finger pointing at you? What does he look like in your head? Now, by a show of hands, when you see Jesus, is he more the fierce warrior or the gentle type? So for those of you who, is he more the gentle type? Raise your hand. Let me see your hands up in the air. Gentle. For those other ones, is he more the fierce type? Let me see your hands. I got one dude. Way to go, Charlie. You and me, baby. You and me. So almost everybody in here sees him as the gentle Jesus. Everybody say gentle Jesus. Now my question is, what is your image of a good Christian? What's your idea of a good Christian? One who lives peaceably with most men, or one that seems to be in a lot of conflict? Let me ask you. So in your head, what is the good Christian? The one who lives peaceably with most men, let me see your hands up. Or the Christian who's always in conflict? We got like three of them, and all y'all always cause me trouble. Amen. Does God desire you to be more of the silent example to others, or more of a vocal one to others? All right, so if you think God wants you to be more of a silent example to others, raise your hand. If you think God wants, let me try it again, because y'all got them, y'all like in slow motion. Let's do this, okay? If you think God wants you to be more of the silent, living, light example to others, raise your hand. Look around. Let's see who has their hands up. Okay, you can't put them down now. We see you. How many think that God wants you to be more of the vocal example? Okay. All right, good. How many don't know what you want to be? Okay, for all those, amen, praise the Lord. Question. Do you like vocal Christians, or do you think people should keep their religious opinions private? Do you like vocal Christians? Like her? She's like, yes. Okay, thank you. Like, we know you're there. We know you're there. All right. Or would you like people to keep their opinions private in their own lives? How many are unsure? How many refuse to answer? Ladies and gentlemen, God said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In an age where people feel that their main goal is to just get along, and our desire is to live in peace with all men, there are times we lose sight of God's desire. God is not interested in creating a world where there is no conflict, but a strong people that, regardless of conflict, will bring forth his will into the earth. A will that is not defined by society, but a will that is defined by 66 books of the Bible. He wants to bring his will on earth as it is in heaven. But, Pastor Steve, that doesn't make any sense to me, because doesn't the Bible call Jesus himself the Prince of Peace? Well, I'd have to say yes, in fact, it does. Turn to Isaiah 9 and 6, and let's see what else they call him. He is, according to the scriptures, the Bible says, Isaiah 9 and 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government, everybody say government, shall rest on his shoulders, and he will be called, everybody say with me, wonderful. No, you got to say it right. You got to go, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and he is called Prince of Peace. So, Pastor Steve, I think Jesus is that nice, peaceable dude with the nice long hair and a groomed beard and everything. Well, hold on. Because, Pastor Steve, the Bible says, aren't we all supposed to live at peace with all men? I would have to say to you, yeah, Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And I want you to understand what it says here. Romans chapter 12, 18 says, do all. Everybody say, do all. Do all that you can to live in peace. Do all that you. Please underline that word can. That word saved my life. Do all that you can. And when you cannot. Many years ago, I had, sometimes people take advantage of people who are nice. Anybody ever had been taken advantage because you're nice? I had this, I was in college and I was riding my motorcycle down by FSU. Go Noles. You got to pray about that. I got to pray about that. Rattler. I'm a rattler anyway. And so I was driving through FSU parking lot, and I saw this lady crossing the FSU parking lot late at night. And I'm thinking, and she looked scared to death. And I said, well, let me pull over. And I said, ma'am, are you okay? Yeah, I got to get to the dorms, and I'm scared to death. And I'm like, well, ma'am, I park my bike here, and I'll walk you to your dorms. So I walked her all the way to the dorms, and she said, you must be a Christian. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She says, man, I've been trying to understand God and learn about God. Can you help me understand God? I said, sure. I said, here's my number. You call me, and I'll help you understand about God. So, next day, she calls me, wants to know this question about the Bible. Next day, calls me, wants to know the next question about the Bible. For the next 30 days, she calls me 7 times a day, wants to know the question about the Bible. And I got the clear understanding that I was being stalked. But I felt guilty because, the Bible said you got to live, you got to be a Christian. So, she's asking about the Bible, so I got to answer her Bible questions. Even though I don't want, she's getting on my nerves, I got to answer. And I'll never forget the day, it got to the one day, I'm in my apartment, and I had my screen door shut, and I'm sitting on my couch, and I hear her. And I, you know how you squeeze up on the wall? And I'm peeking out the window. I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's out the door. And, the screen's right here and the hallway's over there. And I'm up against the wall. I'm like, I can't move. I said, did I lock the door? And I remember her in the screen going like this. I know you're in there. I remember going to church that night. I went to my preacher. I said, preacher, help me. What do I do? Because I can't take this no more. He said, live peaceably with all men as much as you can. Somebody say amen. I said, I can't. Praise the Lord. Don't call me no more. Amen. Now, the question becomes this. Is this the peace he's talking about, meaning the absence of conflict? If he's the Prince of Peace, is he talking about the absence of that kind of conflict? So let's check the word and see what the Bible says. I want you to go to Matthew 10, verse 32. And let's find out what the kind of peace he's talking about. And let's see what Jesus said. He says, everyone who acknowledged me publicly here on earth. Everybody say publicly. That means you're vocally acknowledging the Lord openly. There's certain things that it's not politically correct to talk about in public. Politics, money, and religion. Who told us that? Look what it says. Everyone who acknowledges me in publicly here on earth, I will what? Also, verse 33, here comes the reversal. But everyone who denies me on earth, I will also deny. He says, if you're ashamed of me in public, I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. Could you imagine being married to somebody and they're ashamed to call you your husband or wife. Be embarrassed. He says, listen, look at the next verse. Here's what kind of peace he brings. He says, don't even think that I came to bring peace to earth. What? Wait a minute, that can't be right, because Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. And Jesus says, hold on, yes, I am. But don't even imagine that I came to bring peace to this earth. I came not to bring peace. How many still seeing that gentle Jesus? Now, you know, we grew up thinking Jesus, this is this cool dude, and just, you know, he got these nice sandals, leather sandals, and when he walks, you smell perfume and stuff. You mean the Joker just... But this is not what this guy sounds like. He said, listen, I need y'all to, don't get me twisted. Don't even get in your mind. He did say that, right? That's King James Version. I didn't come to bring peace on earth. I came not to bring peace, but a... Next verse, watch this. Yes, that's right, the next verse. All right, she's got one finger. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for our tech team, and we pray, God, that you would cause it to happen any minute now. Any minute now. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read the verse. Praise the Lord. He waited on that one. Okay. Here's what Jesus said. He says, I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I think that's just natural anyway. Sorry. Not always. I've got the greatest mother-in-law. No, I'm just playing. He said, the kind of peace that I bring to this world is not the absence of conflicts, for the peace that God brings to this world will create conflict. Listen, he says, I came to bring the kind of peace that gets you to heaven. Oh, you didn't hear what I just said. I'm bringing the kind of peace that even if you come kicking and screaming, at least I'll get you into heaven. Somebody say amen. The kind of peace I'm bringing, you may not like me now, but you'll love me later. Hello, somebody. It's the kind of peace we got to bring to our kids every now and then with a little belt on your pocket. Come on, somebody. You may not like me now, but it's for your good. I got to do this now because later you're going to cut a fool if I don't. Look at verse, I want you to go to Luke chapter 12, verse 51. I'm going to read a little bit more as I get into the text. Luke chapter 12, verse 51, he says this. And he's going to do a repeat almost. He says, do you think that I've come to bring peace to this earth? He says, no. Everybody say, no. I have come to divide people against each other. Where is the gentle Jesus here? He said, listen, I'm going to tell you how I divide people. Look at this. Verse 52. From now on, families were split apart. Three in favor of me, two against, or two in favor and three against. Let me tell you where the peace is not. He will create a dividing line right down the middle of your home. Either you love me or you don't, but you cannot have both. Families will become divided. Relationships will become broken because one says, I'm not standing for him, and the other says, I will. He says, I am bringing a sword to the earth. I'm not bringing the kind of peace that is the absence of conflict. Look what he goes on. It says, verse 53, father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Why so much conflict? We got to go back to Matthew 6 and 10. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is. Let me tell you why there's conflict in your house. God is trying to unite you. Come on, somebody. I need you to hear me. Listen, I know it's uncomfortable, but if you're always out drinking and partying, cussing and moving and doing all this, and she's always praying and seeking and crying out on God, there will be conflict in the home. Because she's more powerful than you. She has the power of God drawing you. And it's going to create conflict. But it's not so that you would have unrest. It is because God is trying to give you peace. I love it. Watch this word. How can both be true? True peace, ladies and gentlemen, is not the absence of conflict, but the true peace that Jesus brings means reconciliation with the Father. The peace and the reason he can be called the Prince of Peace is because the peace that Jesus brings into this world is not social peace, but eternal peace with God. There is an issue that stands at the forefront of every human person alive. There is an issue that has divided you from the creator of your life, the man who made you, the one who loves you. There is an issue between you and everything you really want. And can I point it out to you? Can I show you what it is? Why there's a wall of partition between humanity that Jesus says, I came to break it down, but it's going to cause some conflict. Can I tell you what it is? Can I share that truth with you? I need you to go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, go to verse 1. I want to show you why he's fighting for you. He's not going to let you get comfortable. He's going to make you uncomfortable because he wants you to have more. Watch this. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. It says, listen. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, listen. No, no, no. You got to look him in the eyes. No, no. Tap him on the shoulder first. Please tap him on the shoulder. Tap him. And then let's say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And just say, listen. Say, listen. That's what God is doing. He's tapping us on our spiritual shoulders. He's tapping us on our spiritual shoulders and saying, listen. I know MTV's on. I know you watch BET and VH1 and XYZ and all that stuff. They're naming whole networks, old network. I mean, they just stopped. They just stopped. They just use one letter, O. We used to have at least three NBC, you know what I'm saying? They went down to one. We listen to everything else. We listen to Lifetime television. And then we get mad on our mates because of what we saw on the television. Come on. But honey, I'm home. Yes, but you are a minute and 30 seconds late. Where you been? If you're married, raise your hand, please. If your spouse is with you, I want you to turn to him with loving eyes. I want you to tell him, turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. We got to watch what we're listening to. The Lord of the universe speaks to his people. He says, listen. The Lord's arm is not too weak to save you. I don't care what you're struggling with. Pastor, I don't know if I'm ready to get saved. If I make this decision, I want to make sure I can keep it. Are you serious? You can't keep nothing. Let him keep it. If you give your life to him, he'll make you able to keep it. The testimony of Jesus at the end of his life was this: Lord, all that you gave me, I kept. Except the one that was already destined for hell. I never even put him in my hands. Whatever you give to God, he can keep it. He says, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you when you call. In other words, I can hear what you're saying. Well, I don't know how to pray. I don't need you to learn how to pray. I need you to learn how to talk. That's all. If you can go to McDonald's and order a Big Mac, that you got it. But let me tell you why Jesus has come to bring a sword, why he creates divide even in your own household. Why so much chaos going on? Because Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking and he's saying, listen, if you let me come in, I will sup with you. But I'm knocking and I'm not going to let you rest till you open this door. There is a divide between me and you, and I want to show you what it is. Verse 2. It is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Now, he just got finished saying, I'm not hard of hearing. I'm not doing what I'm doing because I don't love you. I'm telling you why I'm doing it. Your sins have separated you from me. And there's a wall between us. But Pastor Steve, I'm a good person. I try to do good by all men. Anybody ever heard that before? Salvation is not about being good or bad. Salvation is about whether you have sin or not. I just missed that. Salvation is not about whether you're a good person or a bad person. There are many good people that don't know Jesus. The issue is that whether you're good or bad, your sins still need to be forgiven. And what Jesus came to do was to bring peace between you and God by removing the separation between the two, which is your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the wall of partition is what we have created ourselves. And true peace is not the absence of conflict, but the peace that Jesus brings for your life today, if you're here today, is reconciliation with God, the maker of everything. He wants to reconcile your relationship back with God. And I want to show you that God is using the people in this room. You remember how we read this verse and we talked about Isaiah? Let me tell you why he did this. Go down to verse 20, and then I'm going to read why he's doing this. Verse 20. The Redeemer will come to Jerusalem to buy back those in Israel who have turned from their sins, says the Lord. The reason he's here today, he's come back to us, is to redeem you, sir, redeem you, man, woman, from your sins. Look at verse 21. Watch this. And this will be my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them. And neither will these words have I given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. It ain't ever going to stop because he's going to put it in your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids till all of you know the Lord and the earth is full of his glory. So then what is your role, ladies and gentlemen? Are you to be the non-vocal or you are to be the vocal? Are you going to find yourself in conflict or are you going to be the peaceable Christian that gets along with everybody? I'm going to tell you what ministry God gave to everyone in this room. If you're a minister, would you please raise your hand, please? I want you to look around. Those people who are ministers, raise. Look around. Okay. Put your hand down. I need to inform you today, and I'm going to shock some of you, that you all are ministers. Now, if I'm lying, I'm flying, but I ain't got no wings on my back. But I can prove it. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Because a minister brings a message. They preach the gospel. Yes? Let's see what God gave to everybody in this room. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 concerning us. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? The old life is, a new life has. How many just enjoy a new life? How many, that's just, man, how many remember where you came from? I mean, how many remember y'all were just like buck wild and crazy? You were dead wrong and headstrong. Somebody say amen. You were out. See, God gave you a new life, a new beginning. Look at verse 18. And all of this is who brought us back to himself through Jesus. And God has given us this, watch this, task of reconciling people to him. It's every one of our jobs to reconcile people back to God. Everybody in this room is a minister. Look at verse 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Ladies and gentlemen, we must prepare our hearts and minds like steel, not to be the kind of people that are seeking the kind of peace that where we are well liked, but are willing to give our lives to reconcile people back to God. Jesus is doing one thing on this earth, destroying the effects of sin and conquering the entire world until God's reflection can be seen on the waters of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand to your feet?